Morning. Today's Daf Erevin Nun Tes. We are on the Mishnah on Nun Ches Amud Beis. We are going to continue our discussion here in the fifth parak of the Erevin regarding Medida, regarding the measurement of a city. The measurement of the city and the measurement of the Tchum outside the city. Here we're going to continue with the measurement of the Tchum outside of the city. Yesterday's Daf Nun Ches really dedicated itself to the topic of Medida, the process of measuring to make sure that we know when Tchum comes to an end. And we surveyed the property, we surveyed the land, and we now know where Tchum has come to an end. So that is that's what we discussed yesterday. How to circumvent mountains and valleys and the steepness of the mountains and the valleys and that was all of yesterday's discussion. And so along those lines, we pick it up right here in the Mishnah. Ein modin ela min ha-mumcha. So the Mishnah reads that the medida should be done by a mumcha. Now, the reading of the Mishnah here is a little bit tricky, and if you look at Rashi over here, the gears of Rashi in the Mishnah is a little bit different than what we have in our Mishnah. Look at the first Rashi on the Mishnah, Ein Modedin Ela Mumcha. So, Rashi describes it as a Baki B'Medida. So you need somebody who surveys property, surveys land, and somebody who is really expert in this area, so he should be doing the measurement, and somebody who is a layman, who has no experience in terms of how to measure and survey property, so that person should not be the one doing the measurement. That is Rashi's understanding of the Mishnah. So you can see the Baam Tosfos over here. He gives a different way to read the Mishnah altogether. Really, it's founded in the fact that the language of the Mishnah, the Lashon HaMishnah, doesn't really fit in well with Rashi. In fact, Rashi had a different gears in the Mishnah. But Ein Modedin Ela Min HaMumcha. Sounds a little bit different. We're not going to go through Tosfos right now, but you can see the Baam Tosfos who gives a different shot altogether in terms of what the Mishnah means. Riba l'makom echad umi l'makom acher. Shomim l'makom shiriba. So the Mishnah then goes on to say, what if there's a discrepancy? What if, let's say, one measurement comes out to a place that is further away than the other measurement? So the Mishnah says, it's fine. In other words, you'll just simply follow the measurement that was arrived at a point that was further. Good. And that means to say that we could be lenient. We could be mako by Erevin. The Gemara is going to make that point exceedingly clear. The Mishnah then goes on. The Mishnah right now really finds itself repeating its same point. And we know that that's just, the Gemara is not going to tolerate that. But anyway, but we're going to read the Mishnah right now as it presents itself. So Riba l'echad umi l'echad. So let's say one person arrived at a further point measuring than another person. So shomim l'meruba. So you follow the person that arrived at a further point in time. Okay, right now I'll leave the Mishnah as is, but the Gemara is not going to accept the idea that the Mishnah just made its point and then repeated the same point again. Ve'afilu eved ve'afilu shivcha ne'aman l'amar ad kan tchum Shabbos. Now, in terms of who is given ne'amanus, who's given credibility to say that the tchum goes up until this point in time. Obviously, when they survey the land and they measure the land, so they would put a marker down and they would say ad kan tchum Shabbos. But for whatever reason, the marker is not there. So a member of the city now is going to report to you exactly where tchum goes up to. The Mishnah says that's great, and the Mishnah says it can be reported by an eved, by a shivcha. So in other words, people who normally don't have ne'amanus. So over here in the area of tchumim, they do have ne'amanus, and the Mishnah gives us a general rule, Shalom Amru Chachamim Esadav Lahachmer El Lahakam. Because when making the institution, the larger institution of Tchum Shabbos to begin with, so the Chachamim recognize that this is a Din D'Rabbanan. And so therefore, built into the legislation of Tchum Shabbos are going to be coolers, there are going to be leniencies. And this is one of the leniencies, in that when giving report and testimony as to where Tchum Shabbos will go up to, so we will give credibility to an Evet, to a Shivcha, meaning to people who normally are not extended ne'amanus in halacha, but over here for tchum, so they are going to be extended ne'amanus. Okay, ad kan divrei ha-mishnah. Let's start with the Gemara. So lamakum shiriba in lamakum shemiyat lo. Now the Gemara starts off with an interesting reading of the Mishnah, and you know it's an impossible reading of the Mishnah, and that is that the Mishnah says, look, if you have two points of measurement where one measurement arrived at a longer place than the shorter one arrived at a shorter place. Kind of self-evident. Anyway, there were two different measurements. So I'm going to listen to the longer one, not to the shorter one. And what you could do when reading the Mishnah is you could suggest, well, meaning that we're going to have to ignore the shorter one altogether. We're not ignoring the shorter one altogether. That's what bothers the Gemara. Meaning the shorter one is just simply included in the longer one. And the Gemara is going to give the obvious answer. So lamakum shariba in lamakum shemiyah lo ema af lamakum shariba. So the Gemara says, yeah. The way to read the Mishnah is that I'm going to go to the shorter one, and then on top of that, I'm also going to go to the longer one as well. Okay. Now, riba lechad umi lechad, hasulam ali, hainu hach. So here the Gemara is troubled by the Mishnah making a point and making seemingly the same point again, immediately afterwards. So, and that's not tolerable. The Mishnayos are exceedingly conservative in terms of its word count. And if the Mishnah has made a point, the Mishnah is not going to go back and make the same point again. So, hachikamar. So the Gemara says, okay. So the second case in the Mishnah is talking about a slightly different case. And that is riba echad umiyet echad shomim lezeh shariba. Okay. So the first case in the Mishnah is that there was one surveyor, and as he was measuring, he just simply arrived at different points. Okay, I know he's an expert, but nevertheless, so he just simply, as he was plotting where Tchum gets up to, so he arrived at two different points. One was longer than the other. Okay, so for that one surveyor, so we're going to be generous, and we're going to say that you can go out to the larger, to the longer point, because again, we can be makel when it comes to Tchum. The second case of the Mishnah is that I have two surveyors. So two surveyors, and one arrived at point A, and the other one arrived at point B, and one of the points was just simply at a longer distance than the other one. Okay, so when it's two surveyors, so I might have thought that under these circumstances, I don't have the right to be makel, because maybe I could make the argument that the one surveyor who went longer was just simply wrong. That's what I might have thought. So the chiddush of the Mishnah is that no. In other words, we're gonna argue the other way, and that is that the one surveyor who went short, so he's the one who made the mistake. And as Rashi over here points out, there are a lot of reasons why mistakes can be made in measuring. You go back to yesterday's daf. We talk about the cord that's being held, the 50 amma cord that's being held. So maybe it sagged, maybe it was held too taut. So there are a number of reasons why you can have discrepancies. So when you have possibilities of multiple tchum points, so you're always going to go with a more generous point. You're always going to be more makel. And even if those two points were arrived at by two different people, we're still going to be makel. Amar Rabbi, continuing in the Gemara of Avachalo Yarba Yosef Mimida Sa'ir Balach Sona. Now, the Gemara over here gives us a margin of error. The margin of error, the Gemara doesn't give a number for the margin of error, but basically the margin of error cannot exceed 2,000 on the diagonal. So what does the Gemara mean by that? So Rashi over here explains that basically we have to assume that we do allow for some error, but there comes a point in time where the margin of error, the error is so great, it doesn't fit within the margin of error. So an example of that would be the following. Let's say, so one person measured 2,000, and 2,000 straight out of town, meaning right on the on a straight line out of town, in the direction of north, east, south, west. In other words, at a due point, due east, or whatever the case is. So he measured 2,000. Let's say the other surveyor, so he went 2,000, but he went right on the diagonal. Okay, so if he goes 2,000 on the diagonal, so what does that mean in terms of due east? So over here, let's go back to our triangle. Let's go back to the Pythagorean theorem. So if, let's say, 2,000 amos were measured on a perfect 45-degree angle outside the town, meaning let's say just for example, it went directly northeast. So now, 2,000 amos, so what does that yield in terms of due east? So in terms of due east, so here you're just simply going to make two lines, one dropping down, the other one dropping back into the town. So the due east line now is going to be a little over 1,400 amos, 415 amos, right, just roughly. So that means to say now that basically what we're looking at is an allowable discrepancy, a margin of error between the two surveyors. One arrived at 2,000 amos, the other one at 415 amos. So that's basically 585 amma discrepancy. So the Gemara says, so for 585 ammas, if the error between the two surveyors is anywhere within 585, so that's a margin of error. That's something which is explainable, and so therefore we'll accept that. However, once the two distances are greater than 585, so then we now know that one is right and one's wrong, meaning the margin of error between the two is so great that there's no way to explain how one arrived here and the other one arrived there. Under those circumstances now, so we don't just simply say, oh, the one was a mistake. The one was a justifiable mistake. No. Now at that point in time, we know that one of the measurements is just simply wrong, and then presumably, in terms of which to opt with, so then we're gonna have to go with the more, with the closer one, and probably better still is to get is to do the measurement again, because now you know that one of those measurements is simply wrong, and outside of the margin of error. Finishing up over here, our first figure of this morning, Shalom Ruchachamim Asadav Lahachmer Lahakel VaAtanya. The Gemara quotes another brisa, which says the exact opposite of our Mishnah, and that is Lomar Chachamim Asadav Lahakel Lahachmer. So, as far as the institution of Tchum is concerned, so why did the Chachamim institute it? It's a Chumrah, meaning assuming that the whole idea of Tchum Shabbos is a din derabanan. So, if the Chachamim wouldn't have legislated it, so then a person would be free to walk wherever they want on Shabbos. The whole idea that a person now is restricted to walking 2,000 amos, so to begin with, that's a chumrah. So that goes against the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, the two statements can be synthesized very easily. Am Ravina lo lahaka al divrei Torah lahachmir al divrei Torah tchumin derabanan. So here it's very simple. Meaning, when you look at the original legislation of Tchum Shabbos, so obviously that's a chumrah, obviously. In other words, you can't walk more than 2,000 amos, okay? So the institution itself is a chumrah. Now that the Chachamim instituted it, but within the institution of Tchumim, so now if there's a point where a person could be makel, so like our example, like our Mishnah over here, where you had two measurements, and one comes out to be further than the other, so then be makel. Within the institution of Tchumim, so a person can be makel. Adkan. Okay, so that takes us to the first sugya of today's daf. Just as a really interesting point over here, Tosfos on Mentesim and Aleph, third Tosfos down, Tchumim de Rabbanan. So we go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah told us that who is given credibility? So people who are not normally extended credibility. And right, Eved, Shivcha, so they're given credibility when it comes to Tchum. Why? Because Tchum is a din de Rabbanan. And so therefore, as we just concluded, so one can have leniencies within the institution of Tchum because it's a din derabanan. Mashma, Tosfos writes over here, Ihav d'araisa l'mehemne. So let's say Tchum was a din d'araisa, so then they wouldn't be believed. Ve'av agav d'maisa b'chol yom sh'maminam l'nashim b'shchita v'nikor v'litrom chala. So Tosfos over here is bothered. Now, this Tosfos is both fundamental and also very popular because in the beginning of Gittin, so Tosfos over there explores the exact same point, which is that, look, Maiser B'chol Yom, meaning just look around and see how we practice our religion. And that is that when it comes to women in Shechita, women in Nikor, right, the making sure that the animal after Chechtin, so the parts of the animal cannot be eaten, the chel of the Gidonasha, so all that are going to be excavated out of the animal, removed from the animal. Also being Torim Chala, where the eating of Chala, all right, the portion that's given off over to the Kohen. So if a person were to eat it and not going to eat it, so that's Chayv Misa. So these are we're talking here about Isurei Daraisa, Gidanasha, Chelev, Achilas Chala for non Kohen. These are Isurei Daraisa. And meanwhile, a woman is going to be believed in all of these activities. There's no Mashkiach standing over the woman, making sure that she did all these activities. So Tosfos says, and these are Yisuri Daraisa, so it's hard to understand our Gemara. We're going to believe in Eved, we're going to believe in Shivcha when it comes to Tchumim, because that's a Din Derabanan. And with the implication being, it had been a Din Daraisa, we wouldn't believe them. And meanwhile, Tosfos says, we believe women. So Hanim Mishum Dehave Biyada. Kodim Shenasa Sashchita Have Biyada L'shchot. So Tosfos says, okay, but there's a principle of Biyada, which means that she's the one that can affect the change. And because it's within her power to go ahead and to affect the change, meaning she's the Balmaisa, she's the one who could do the action. So as a result of that, even by Daraisa, she's extended extra credibility. Okay, and this idea of Biada, where if a person has the ability, has the power, has the control, so therefore they're extended this ability to also get to have extra Ne'amanus as well. So this is a big Yisur in Tosfos. Tosfos discusses this also right on the first daf of Gittin, this idea of Biada. And as a result of that, extra credibility is given. Okay, we're going to continue now. We're in the Mishnah on New Testament Aleph. And here, the Mishnayos here in the fifth parak take a hard left-hand turn. And that means to say that this Mishnah seems to be totally misplaced here in the fifth parak of Erevin. Right? The topic of the fifth parak of Erevin was Erev Tchum. And it's not the first parak that we've been discussing Erev Tchum. So we've been discussing Erev Tchum while going back now to the third parak. Third, fourth, fifth parak of Erevin all have been on the topic of Erev Tchum. And this Mishnah over here on Nun Testament Aleph, so for reasons which the Rishonim already asked, but it's just, it's hard. It's difficult to understand what this Mishnah is doing here. But this Mishnah is clearly a discussion of Eruvei Chatzeros. And so for the remainder of today's daf and going into tomorrow's daf, we're going to be speaking about a little bit of Eruvei Chatzeros. But in terms of when we're going to be discussing Eruvei Chatzeros in terms of a Perek, so that's coming up here in the sixth Perek of Erevin. And actually we're getting to it a couple of days from now, Mir Tashem, on Samach Alef Amud Beis, the beginning of the sixth parak. So there we discuss Eruvei Chatzeros in much greater detail. So over here, so again, it's hard to explain what this Mishnah is doing here, but here it is, and obviously it's part of today's daf. We have an opportunity to learn it, so let's begin. Ir Shel Yachid V'Naaseh Shel Rabin. So let's say the city was an Ir Shel Yachid, right, a private city. And it becomes Naaseh Shel Rabin, becomes a public city, so you can make an Eruv for the entire city. Eruv over here meaning Eruvei Chatzeros, having everyone contribute some bread, putting it into a communal basket, putting that communal basket into somebody's house, and now allowing the ability to for everybody in this town to carry from the house to the chatzer, from the chatzer to another chatzer, etc., etc. Unification of the entire city, otherwise known as Eruvei Chatzeros. Again, I'm going to more formally introduce it at the beginning of the sixth parak. Okay, so the Mishnah says that if I have a private city, which becomes a public city, we could still make an Eruv for the entire city. One Eruv for the entire city. The converse, however, is Vishal Rabim, Nasr Shal Yachim, Arvin, if it was a public city, it now becomes a private city. So then you cannot make an Eruv for everybody. Ela Imkein Asa Chutzalakir Chadasha Shebi Yehuda. The only way you could do so is you have to make an exclusion. Meaning, basically, there has to be some sort of reminder in the city that once upon a time, this city was, in fact, a public city, and and we don't want people to just be comfortable with the idea of making one Eruv for everybody within a public city. So therefore, a hecker, a simon, just a way of reminding everybody that this is that this once upon a time was a public city, and so therefore an exclusion is made in the city. So that some people are, by definition, going to be left out of the Eruv. I can just imagine the politic of that moment in terms of who's going to be excluded from the Eruv. But anyway, and how big an exclusion are we talking about? So the Kiir Chadasha Shebi Yehuda, Sheish Bachamisha Diyum Div Rav Yehuda. So here we have a debate between Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. So Rav Yehuda says that the exclusion has to be 50 families, have to be excluded from the Eruv. And Rabbi Shimon Amar Gimel Chatzir Shol Shnei Batim. And Rabbi Shimon says that three chatzeros in this town, each of the chatzeros having two houses, they have to be excluded from this Eruv. Okay, so Ad Kan Divrei HaMishnah. Okay, so it's going to be a little bit of a difficult Mishnah, a little bit challenging. And just, this is classic Gemara, classic Mishnayos, in which we're not introduced to the most basic ideas of Eruv chatzeros, and meanwhile we're being thrown into a discussion of a public city, a private city, the conversion from a private to a public city, the conversion of a private city back to a public city. Like, it's just going to be a little bit challenging. Okay, so fine. So let's take up the challenge. The Mishnah here talked about a private city converting into a public city. What is a private city and what's a public city? So over here there are many different ways to say it, but just for the purposes of keeping everything short and as simple as possible, so we're just going to limit ourselves to Rashi over here. Rashi writes the following: Ir Shel Yachid. Rashi writes: Shelo ayu nichnasim ba'tamid shishim ribu shel bnei adam v'lo chashiv rishus harabim d'lo damim l'digle midbar. So Rashi writes over here what he has been consistent about throughout our Masechta, and he also wrote it back in Shabbos as well. And that is that an Ir Shel Yachid simply means that there weren't 600,000 people in the town, and if there aren't 600,000 people in the town, so the town is now is not a Rishus HaRabim. The definition of Rishus HaRabim, according to Rashi, is that you need the structure of a thoroughfare going through the town from one end to another. It has to be 16 amas wide. So you need all that. You need the actual physical structure. And on top of that, you also need a population. You need a population of 600,000. Anything less than that, and you don't have a Rishus HaRabim. So in Yerushal Yachid, says Rashi, is the town that is not a Rishus HaRabim. Now, I caution all of us. Rashi does not mean it's a Rishus HaYachid, because it's not a Rishus HaYachid. In order for it to be Rishus HaYachid, it has to be one enclosed property that's owned by one individual. That's a Rishus HaYachid. Truth of the matter is, if it's an enclosed property owned by many individuals, that too is a Rishus HaYachid. But vis-a-vis this particular town, all that Rashi is simply saying is that because there aren't 600,000 people here, it's called a Rishus HaYachid, an Ir Shel Yachid, simply because it does not have a Rishus HaRabim going through. Okay. And then what happens? Nasa Shel Rabim. So now you can already guess what Rashi is going to say. How does it become now an Ir Shel Rabim? So the answer is very simple. And Rashi writes, Sheni Tosu Badiyarim, O Nikvu Bashvakim. So let's say that more people moved into town. Or, interesting, Rashi says more marketplaces opened up. Right? A new mall opened up in town. And so therefore, what? So now traffic is higher. And it sounds like from Rashi, within this position, that you need 600,000 people in a town, it doesn't necessarily mean that you need 600,000 residents. It just simply means that you need a population of 600,000 people in this town at one point in time. Okay, that could you make much of that Rashi. I'm not sure if that's correct, but anyway, that is that's a private city now becoming a public city, an Ir Shel Yachid becoming an Ir Shel Rabim. So there you can make an Erev for everybody. Why? Why can you make an Erev for everybody? Meaning, again, the Erev over here, I'm gonna put one more reminder out. We're not talking about Erev Tchum now. We're talking about Erev Chatzeros, and we're talking about the unification of the city so that now everybody can carry from the home into the common to the common chatzeros. So why? So the next Rashi, kibitchila ve'ein mevuasa tzrichin tikun sharei he kechatzer achas kagon she'ein ba rishos harabim gemur rishol tazayin ama v'im yesh ba mefarsh begemar tekan tol rishos harabim shebesocha. So Rashi writes over here. Well, Rashi just simply says that we can do it as it was originally done. Meaning this town over here. First of all, Rashi says the town does not have a bona fide Rishus HaRabim, which is a little bit challenging because it became an Ir Shel Rabim, meaning that there are 600,000 people in the town. But anyway, but the point is that since it was an Ir Shel Yachid, so the way that it's perceived, people think of it as basically a small town that never had a Rishus HaRabim going through. But let's go in the opposite direction. But let's now talk about Ir Shel Rabim. Ir Shel Rabim meaning we have a city that had a Rishus HaRabim going through it. So now, if we made an Erev of Chatzeros going through the town, so what's going to be of that? People will think that you can make a Chatzer, I'm sorry, you can make an Erev of Chatzeros through a Rishus HaRabim. And because this town started off as an Ir Shel Rabim, meaning that it had a Rishus HaRabim going through it, so by making a single Erev of Chatzeros throughout the entire town, so it's going to give people the erroneous impression that you can make an Erev Chatzeros even in a Rishus HaRabim. And even if that town converts into becoming an Ir Shel Yachid. And again, working within Rashi, that means that you had 600,000 people and whatever, people moved out of town. And now it's less than 600,000. So under those circumstances, because the town was originally an Ir Shel Rabim, so it's always viewed and perceived as a Rishus HaRabim. And so despite the fact that the reality has changed and that the city has diminished in numbers, but nevertheless, its perceived look as being an Ir Shel Rabim, a Rishus HaRabim, now is going to lead people to the erroneous conclusion that if we were to make a single chatzer for everybody within the town, so that means to say that I can make an Ir Chatzeros and a Rishus HaRabim. So what you have to do is that you have to put in a hecker. You have to basically now throw in something that is pronounced and tells people that that you're not allowed to make within a Rishus HaRabim. And what is that pronounced statement going to be? So and then we go back to our Mishnah. And that is that you're going to have to, by definition, exclude some members of the town from the Erev Chatzeros, and that's going to serve as the hecker. So how many people are you excluding? So that's the Machlokus in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says 50 residents, and Rabbi Shimon says, no, you don't count it by residents, but rather you count it by Chatzeros. It's going to be 3 Chatzeros, each Chatzer having a minimum of 2 houses. Okay. Hechidami, we start with the Gemara. Hechidami Yirsho Yachid Minasa Sharabim. So what's an example of an Yirsho Yachid that becomes a Rabbim? Meaning, the Gemara's question over here is, can I point to any particular example of a town that went through this conversion of being a private town that becomes a public town? So Amar Rav Yehuda Kagon de Iskarta de Resh Galusa. So he points to the city of the Resh Galusa, meaning that the Resh Galusa at one point in time was an Yirsho Yachid. So it was a private town, and then it became more populated. For the purpose of today's daf, I'm just going to keep saying it over like Rashi. So then it becomes more populated. So Amalei Rav Nachman Taima. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, like, why did you choose that particular example? Meaning there are a number of other examples that you could have chosen, and you gave that particular example. Ilem Mishum Deshchichei Gabi Armana Matkira Dade. So he says, now you probably think like this, and that is that, look, this city started off as an Yirsho Yachid, and now it becomes more populated. And the reason why we can continue making Erev Chatzeres for everybody, one Erev Chatzeres for everybody, is maybe for the following. Look, it's the Resh Galusa. People are going over to the Resh Galusa all the time to get authorization, right? The Resh Galusa is the one who gives out licenses, and that's the Harmana that's mentioned over here. And so what's going to end up happening is that you have these group gatherings in this town of the Resh Galusa, and they're going to remind each other, meaning the history of the town will not be forgotten. Everyone's going to say to one another, you know, there's a lot of people in this town, but we remember back when. This town used to be a small town, right, an Irshol Yachid, so to say. And so they're going to remind one another. So by virtue of the fact that even though now it's an Irshol Rabbim, and even though it's still one era for everybody in the town, but because of these group gatherings, so they're going to remind each other of the history of the town. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Kol Yisrael Nami, B'tzafra D'Shabbat, Shechich Gabi Adade? So the Gemara says, that's not just limited to the town of the Resh Galusa. On any Jewish town, you're going to have the same phenomena. What happens on Shabbos morning is that they all go to shul. Interesting Rashi over here. They all go to shul for the drasha, right? Why don't they all go to shul for davening? But anyway, I guess the drasha is more of a group event. Okay, not totally clear, but whatever the case is. So they all go to shul and on Shabbos morning, and they're all there for the drasha. So you have a group gathering in any town. And so if the town started off as an Yirsho Yachid and becomes an Yirsho Rabbim, so these group gatherings are there. People are going to remind each other about the history of the town that used to be an Yirsho Yachid. So this point is not just limited to the Resh Galusa. So Alam Rav Nachman Kungon Diskarta Dinituzai. So he says, okay, so I'll give you another example. And that is the city of Nituzai. Now, really unclear what we just learned in this Gemara over here, meaning that we're trying to cite an example of Yirsho Yachid becoming Yirsho Rabbim, and the Gemara notes that once you have these towns with the group gatherings, it's kind of obvious. So give me an example. So the Gemara gives an example, and Rashi doesn't say, but what exactly was the Chiddush of giving that particular example? Unclear. Tanu Rabbanan. We are in the bottom of New Testament Aleph, and now we're continuing along our discussion of making an Erev for a town, an Erev Chatzeres for a town. So Yirsho Yachid v'Nasos HaRabim v'Shos HaRabim v'Veres B'Socha. So let's say it is a Yirsho Yachid, it was a private town, and then it becomes a public town, and you have now Rishos HaRabim going through it. So how do I make an Erev? Ketzad Ma'ar v'Nosa. Osen Lechem Mikan v'Lechem Mikan v'Kor Mikan v'Kor Mikan v'Nosem v'Nosem Emsa. So what I'll do is I'll put a Lechem on one side, a Lechem on the other side, or I'll put a Kor on one side, put a Kor on the other side. All this should sound familiar, because we discussed this earlier in the Masechta. And the Brisa says, and now what you have done now is that you've created the area in between as a Rishus HaYachid, even though this area is only flanked by two walls. But nevertheless, it's now created Rishus HaYachid, and the Lechi on both sides, or the Korah on both sides, now demarcate the area in between. And good, and now you can go ahead and you can carry within this area. This is not the accepted halacha. This part of the Brisa, that point will be clear on the Amud Beis. But anyway, let's go on in the Brisa. Ein ma'arvenosa lechatzayin ela okula o mavi mavi bifnei atzma. Then the Brisa says that making an Eruv for everybody, you cannot divide the town in half and make a and have half the town making one Eruv v'chatzeres and the other town making the other Eruv v'chatzeres. That point will be clarified in the Amud Beis. Either what you're going to do is you're going to make one Eruv Chatzeres for everybody. Remember, the Brice over here is talking about Nir Shel Yachid V'Nasa Shel Rabin. It was a private city becoming a public city, but because the history of the city is a private city, so therefore this city is still licensed and allowed to make one Eruv for the entire city. The alternative is Mavu Bifnei Atzmo. Every Mavu can make an Eruv for themselves. Okay, that will be clarified also on the Amud Beis. Hi, Sosher Rabim V'Arei, He Shel Rabim. Let's say the city at once upon a time was an Ir Shel Rabim. So now V'Ein La Ela Pesach Echad Ma'arvin Es Kula, and it only has one entrance, so you can make an Eruv for everybody. We are going to be discussing this in tomorrow's daf. So we'll wait till tomorrow's daf in order to discuss this last part of the Brisa. Okay, so in this Brisa over here, there are effectively two different types of cities being described. The first type is the Yirshal Yachid that becomes an Yirshal Rabim, and the second type was one which was an Yirshal Rabim. But within the Yirshal Yachid in this Brisa, so we discussed it had a Rishos Rabim going through it. And what you could do is you could just simply section it off with a lechi on either side or a kor on either side, and you're good to go. So the Gemara now points out that's not the consensus viewpoint. So mantan de me'av rishos rabbe mamre avuna bereidu av Yeshua Rabbi Yehuda hi. So he says that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The time we learned on the brayse, yes, okay, namre Rabbi Yehuda v'sheishlo shnei batim shneitzi rishos rabbe mosa lechi mikan v'lechi mikan o kor mikan v'nosein v'nosein be'emsa. So Rabbi Yehuda is of this opinion. We saw this in the beginning of the Masechta. Already a couple times in the beginning of the Masechta. So Shitas Rabbi Yehuda is that as long as you have two walls, so two walls that are facing one another, parallel to one another, so that is enough in order to create a Rishos Yachid. And so therefore, all you need to do is just simply demarcate the ends of this street in which we want to be a Rishos Yachid, and that would be sufficient. That is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So Amarlo ein ma'arvin rishus rabim bekach, and the chachamim say that's not a rishus yachid, that's a rishus rabim. And once you have a rishus rabim, so it's not eligible for an eruv. You can't make eruv chatzeres for a rishus rabim. You only can make eruv chatzeres within a rishus yachid. So the chachamim fundamentally disagree in terms of the two walls. Two walls are not a rishus yachid, and therefore not a candidate for eruv chatzeres. Okay. So that took care of the first statement of the Braisa. The Gemara is now going to continue discussing the Braisa. Amar ein ma'arvin osa lechatzayin. So if I have an Yirshal Yachid that becomes an Yirshal Rabim, so it still has a grandfather clause in which I can make a single Eruv for the entire town. But what you can't do is you can't divide the town into half, where half the town is going to make one Eruv Chatzeros and the other town is going to make another Eruv Chatzeros. And the obvious question is, why not? Why can't we divide the town into two halves? So Amra Papa Lo Amra Lo Amra El Al Arka Avalirechva Me Arvin. So Rav Papa here clarifies the Brisa, and in clarifying it is obviously going to be explaining the Brisa as well. And that is that for Rav Papa, what we are looking at is it depends how you split the town. In other words, I have now a town that has a thoroughfare running through the town, and And what we're going to do is we're going to separate two different ways of splitting the town into half. One is lengthwise, meaning that's le'arka. That basically what we're going to do is that we're going to run a line right through the center street of the town, the Rishos Rabim, and now divide the two sides of the town where each one of them is going to be making their own separate Erev. Rav Papa says that you're not allowed to do. That's prohibited. But if I cut the town in the other direction, where basically it's running now through the street, not running across the street, but now it's basically running, I'll try to say it as clear as possible. It's not running through the street, but rather it's running across the street. Okay, in other words, the perpendicular. So under those circumstances, so you are allowed to divide the city into two, and under those circumstances, you are allowed to make two separate Erevs. Now, what's going on over here? What's the issue? So Rashi explains, and I'll just simply paraphrase. The idea is as follows, is that if I'm trying to make two separate Erevs in the town, but they're sharing the same street, so that's out of the question. As we're going to see together in just a moment, once your Once you have a particular Erev already designed, and your group now is walking through somebody else's property by definition, so that is what's called a regel haoser, meaning it's your traffic now that's going to create problems in other people's properties. We'll give examples of that in just a moment. So if we're sharing the same street, so that's going to be problematic because now basically what our group is doing is traversing on shared property that you have, and that's going to be a problem. On the other hand, if we take the town and divide it in half, where now we're basically the one side of the street, not one side, but one section of the street belongs to one group, and another section of the street belongs to the other group. So under those circumstances, now we're fine because our traffic is not going through your street and your traffic is not going through our street. And under those circumstances now, it would be perfectly legitimate to divide a town into those two. So the Gemara says, it's all well and good. This is all of our Papa's understanding of the Braisa. So the Gemara says, come on, back to the Gemara. The lo k'rabbi Akiva di k'rabbi Akiva amar regel amateras bimkoma oseres afilu shelo bimkoma. So the Gemara says, well, you know, Shitas Rabbi Akiva is that if I have regel hamuteras, regel hamuteras means that we're talking about the traffic of a particular group, and and when it is muteras bimkoma, meaning, the classic case which we're going to be seeing later on in the Masechta, is let's say I have an interior chaser and exterior chaser. The interior chaser is a group of people who made an error for themselves. Now, in order for them to get out, their chaser is landlocked. In order for them to get out of their chaser, they by definition have to be walking through the external chaser. So they interior are called the regel hamuteres bimkoma. So they are oser afilu shelo bimkoma. So what they're going to do is that because of their traffic, because they're going to have to walk out through the exterior chatzer, so therefore what they're going to do is that the way Rabbi Akiva views them is that they are considered as if they are residents of the exterior chatzer, and so therefore the members of the exterior chatzer now, even though they made an Erev, but because they didn't make an Erev with the interior, and because the people in the interior are walking through the exterior, so they are viewed as a member of the exterior chatzer, and therefore the Erev simply doesn't work. Okay, that's the Yeshita Rabbi Akiva. So the Gemara says, so why don't we say the same thing over here? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Afilu tam Rabbi Akiva, ad kan lo kam Rabbi Akiva, hasam ela b'shtei chatzer zu lefnim, mizu de pnimis leisei pischa achrina, because in the case of the interior and exterior chatzer, so the only way for the interior chatzer to exit is only through the exterior chatzer, and so that's why Rabbi Akiva says that that traffic of the interior chatzer is going to present a problem because they have no other egress. There's no other way for them to get out. But here in our city, where we took the street and we now separated it, one part of the street now belongs to one group, another part of the street belongs to the other group, so now each one of them has an egress point, and so therefore, that's why Rabbi Akiva over here would be totally comfortable with this idea that each group can create their own separate eruv. Igadami, that was all one version of Rav Papa. Igadami, Amar Rav Papa, lo tema la arkahu de lo ma'arvin avala rachva ma'arvin. Now, in the second version of Rav Papa says that distinction I just made, where basically we are running a line through the town, through the street, that's no good. Running a line across the street, that's fine. That distinction, which he accepted in the first version, here in the second version, Rav Papa says, nope, I'm not going to, there's no distinction to be made. El afilu l'rechva, nami, even if I'm running a line across the street, so lo ma'arvin, so the two halves cannot make eruvs, each half for themselves. It doesn't work. So in other words, when the Braisa says you cannot divide the town in half, what the Braisa means is that there's no way you could divide the town, not along the length of the street, not across the street. So come on, Rabbi Akiva. Now the Gemara says, now, it sounds like, fine, the way Rav Papa is understanding the Braisa necessarily means that Rav Papa is subscribing to the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says that you have to take into account the traffic of one group running through the property of another group. So the Gemara says, no, afilatim rabbana. No, you don't have to limit Rav Papa's understanding of the Braisa to that of Shitas Rabbi Akiva. Over here, the Chachamim would agree. Because I can look at Rabbanan Hasam ala b'shtei chatzer zu lefnim izu, de pnimis achada, achta l'dasha, u mishtamsha. So the Gemara says, no, in the case of the two chaseros, you know what the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Kiva? Because over there we're talking about private properties. The interior chaser is a private property, the exterior chaser is a private property. And so the exterior chaser can just simply say to the interior chaser, look, we don't want you walking in our property. They can close the door. Now, what does that do in terms of leaving the interior property a means of exit? So, unclear. Honestly, just unsure about that. But at least over there, once we're dealing with private property, so the outer chatzar simply turns to the inner chatzar and says, look, we're not allowing you to walk through our property. You'll figure it out. In other words, you'll get another egress in terms of how to get into your chatzar. So there, the Chachamim say, in that case, the Chachamim would say to Rabbi Akiva, we could just simply shut off the door and don't allow them to walk through. But over here, what are we talking about? We're talking about a public thoroughfare. Everyone's walking through. And the definition of a public thoroughfare is that it's public. And so if I am now having a shared street with both groups going through the street, so we can't divide the town in half. And just simply say, I'll make a chatzar and you'll make a chatzar, and I don't have to worry about your residences because we are sharing a common street. So therefore, by definition, we are now all in the same area and we're all in the same shared area, and we cannot just simply view ourselves as being separate from one another. And we cannot make individual eruvs. We're all going to have to make one large collective eruv or divide the eruv mavli by mavli. But we can't just simply divide it in half because this street really connects us. Okay, and let's just finish up to the two dots. Amamar okula omavu mavu bifnei atzma. So finally we're up to this next part of the Braisa, where the Braisa says your options. Again, the city started off as a private city, it becomes a public city, but grandfather clause allows them to make a single area for the whole town, or to make individual heirs for each mavli. So the Gemara says, now dividing the town in half was not an option. Why not? Because that street which is linking everyone together like we just described. So the Gemara says, mavli, mavli, nami. So asri adade. So the Gemara says, well, why don't we say the same thing regarding a mavli? Meaning even as the town now is making heirs mavli by mavli, isn't the town necessarily connecting every mavui together? And can't we just simply say now that there's a street that every mavui opens up into? And just like we couldn't divide the town into half, so too we can't divide the town even mavui by mavui because the street connects everyone together. So So the Gemara says, oh well, the case over here is that each mavui has a separate exit point to be able to leave the mavui. Meaning it's true that they go out to the street, but each mavui also has another doorway that leads them outside of their mavui, and so therefore they don't necessarily have to go out to the street. Let's say you have a member of the mavui, meaning you have an adjoining chatzar to the mavui, but they made a separate doorway that allows them a different egress to get out of there, and they don't have to go through this mavui. So then, as far as making the eruv is concerned, the sheet of mavos for this mavui, in order to allow carrying from the chatzar to the mavui, so this chatzar that has its own separate exit that doesn't go through this mavui, that would remove it from this mavui. We don't need a contribution from that chatzar for this particular mavui. It's the same basic idea. So once you have a different egress, and presumably also you use that separate egress, so that now separates you from the common area. Same thing over here regarding the members of the city, the mavuis of the city. As long as they have a different access point and different egress point, so then they don't have to necessarily follow the unifying street of the city. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots, and let's quickly review the dot. We start off today with the Mishnah regarding continuing the discussion of the measurements of Tchum. Measurement has to be done by a mumcha. That's the way Rashi understood the Mishnah. And if there's any discrepancies between the various surveyors in terms of where Tchum got us to. So we're going to be Mekel and we're going to go with the longer one. That's what we learned regarding the Mishnah. In terms of who can testify as to how far Tchum took us. So for that, we can get the testimony from an Eved, from a Shifcha, people who normally don't have Nemanus. But the whole institution of Erev Tchum is a Din D'Rabbanan. And so therefore the Chachamim were Mekel. Mekel in terms of discrepancies. Mekel in terms of Nemanus. So in our Mishnah, we have two different examples of Kulas. The Gemara on the first Mishnah, so just simply explained what seems to be the repetitive language of the Mishnah. So the Gemara explained that, and basically what is a margin of error? What's an acceptable margin of error between two different measurements? So we went through that as well. And finally, the last thing we saw on the first Mishnah was the idea that the institution of Tchum to begin with is a Chumrah, because without the institution, one could walk as far as they want on Shabbos. So the institution is a Chumrah, but within the institution, so recognizing that it's a rabbinic institution, so we could be Mekel within it, as like the examples that we gave in the Mishnah. Okay, and then we went on to our second Mishnah, our second Sugya today. And it was a little bit of a head scratcher in terms of what's doing here in the fifth parak. So no good answer in terms of what it's doing here in the fifth parak. But we're on to the topic of Erev Chaseros for the balance of today's daf and going into tomorrow's daf, halfway through tomorrow's daf, and then we go back to discussing Tchum. But anyway, the Mishnah tells us that if I have an Irshal Yachid and then it converts into becoming an Irshal Rabban, but still we can make Erev Chaseros in the town. So right, this is the grandfather clause. Because it is an Irshal Yachid, so people will keep reminding each other at town gatherings that this is an Irshal Yachid, and no one's going to walk away with the erroneous conclusion that a person can make Erev Chaseros through a Rishus Rabbim. However, if it's an Irshal Rabbim, if it starts as an Irshal Rabbim, and then it becomes an Irshal Yachid, but because the town history is that it was an Irshal Rabbim, and if we were to make an Erev through this town, and even though it no longer has a Rishus Rabbim, but then people will think of this town as a Rishus Rabbim, and people will walk away with the erroneous conclusion that you can make an Erev Chaseros through a Rishus Rabbim. And so therefore, if you wanted to make an Erev in this town that is an Irshal Rabbim, so what you have to do is you have to make an exclusion within the Erev as a Hecker, to remind people. What's that Hecker? So Machlokis amongst the Tanaim and the Mishnah, exactly what that hecker is going to look like. 50 residents versus 3 chatziras. Okay, in the Gemara we discussed today, one, what exactly is an example of an Irshel Yachid that becomes an Irshel Rabbim. Okay, a little discussion over there. And then for the balance of today's daf, we went through a Braisa. The Braisa was introduced on the bottom of Nun Testament Aleph regarding an Irshel Yachid that becomes an Irshel Rabbim, and the opposite, an Irshel Rabbim that becomes an Irshel Yachid. In the Irshel Yachid that becomes a Rabbim, so first the Braisa says that even though now it has a Rishus Rabbim, so we'll just simply mark off, put a Lechikan, Lechikan, Korakan, Korakan, and then we can carry in that area. So as the Gemara points out immediately after the Braisa concludes, that is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. That's not an accepted Shita. The idea that you have two walls and that's going to be enough for Rishus Yachid, so that's not accepted Shita. The Chachamim say it's not a Rishus Yachin. That is a Rishus Rabbim. You cannot carry within a Rishus Rabbim, period. Good. Second part of the Braisa, which we spent a lot of time discussing on the Amud Beis, is that if it's an Irshel Yachin that becomes an Irshel Rabbim, and again, it's got a grandfather clause, so one is allowed to make an Erev for the entire city. So what you can do is you can make an Erev for the entire city, but what you can't do is you cannot take the town and divide it in half, making two Eruv Chatzeros for each half of the town. That you're not allowed to do. In that line of the Braisa, so on the Amud Beis today, Rav Papa. In one version, Rav Papa makes a distinction in terms of how you're drawing the line, dividing the town in half. If you're running lengthwise across the street, that is unacceptable. Because now everybody's sharing the same street, so we can't view the town as two halves. However, if you are running a line across the street, so that is acceptable because now we can literally separate the town into two halves, each one using only their side of the street, or not their side, but their section of the street. That is, that's one version of Rav Papa. The other version of Rav Papa is that it doesn't matter how you draw the line, lengthwise or crosswise, you can't divide the town in half, And the reason why is because, again, the street is combining and unifying everybody. And so you just simply you can't do it. And the Gemara got a little bit more complicated because it also tried to figure out where does Rav Papa stand on the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim vis-a-vis the interior chatzir, the exterior chatzir, which quite frankly we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta in much greater detail. Okay, good. And then finally, this town, an Irshal Yachid that becomes an Irshal Rabin, that has the grandfather clause, and one is allowed to make a single era for the entire town. You can't divide the town in half, as we just got done saying, but what you're allowed to do is that you're allowed to have every Mavui make their own Erev Chatzeres. Now, why should that be? Why would that be allowed? Isn't that street unifying everybody? And the answer is, the Gemara gives the answer, is that each one of these Mavuis has a separate egress point that allows them to exit outside, separate from the street. And so under those circumstances, each Mavui is allowed to make their own Erev. Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots.